History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. And they really don't have to go untold as long as we're willing to do something about it, to ask a few questions, to take the time to listen. And when we do that, we always come out ahead in the process. Our goal here is first and foremost to honor our veterans for their service and their sacrifice, to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And as it turns out, we're not only educated, we're not only entertained, but we so often become truly inspired through these stories from our greatest generation. We're going to meet a member of that generation today in Bakersfield, California, where something very special is in the works. And who knows, maybe you can be a part of bringing it to completion. Our guest today is 96-year-old Walter Granger, a Navy veteran of World War II. As we're going to hear, his family has quite a legacy of service to our country.
Most of the time we start this program off by talking about a veteran's childhood during the Great Depression and all those memories, but I'm going to flip things around a little bit and let's talk about 2022, because it always encourages and inspires me when I see a World War II veteran who's still actively giving back to his community, and that's exactly what Walter Granger is doing in Bakersfield, California. So, Mr. Granger, tell me about this project that's going to come to a culmination on Veterans Day, November 11th, of this year. What's going to be happening here in your hometown?
We're going to be celebrating the lifetime of World War II veterans before they're all gone. Currently, we're having difficulty finding more than 18 that we could bring to the celebration. Maybe once a month, one more shows up somewhere. People don't take the paper anymore like they used to, and they don't watch the local news. And even though we've been on the front page of the local paper at least five times with pictures at some celebration or a fundraiser, we still go to, like I went to Lions Club in Button Willow the other day. We went to one of the local Rotary clubs, and there's just a ton of the people say, no, we really don't know anything about it. And it just really not only surprises us, but it worries us. So we always say, when you leave here, even whether you give us money or not, please tell your friends.
Well, and here's an opportunity. Here on all these radio stations, we get to tell that story, and a lot of people listen in your home area in Kern County. So this is going to be a lasting tribute, something that 100 years from now, people can come and see. What is this Kern County World War II Memorial going to look like? What's it going to capture? Can you describe for me the vision and the idea there?
The thing we're trying to do is to make it a little different. I say that it contains seven different elements. We're going to memorialize those 684 Kern County veterans who gave their last full measure, and we're going to put those on the front side of one of the six black granite slabs that are standing vertically across the back of the memorial. They're 4 feet wide and 6 feet high, 8 inches thick, and so they're very impressive. And across the front side will be engraved, and one of our members will be doing the engraving. On the other side, people are paying $250 to honor one of their relatives who served in the service and came home. So we're going to memorialize those that passed away. We're going to honor those. Most of those have passed away now, but they came home. Another element, just below the list of the 684, we're going to have two timelines, educational timelines, that show the main events from the beginning of the war to the end of the war for the Pacific Theater. And we're going to do that with etchings, and then below that there will be a text to describe that. Immediately under that is another timeline just for the European theater to do this very same thing. And that's really a challenge to find good pictures that can be engraved and then to verify exactly what's happening. I'm scared to death that we're going to say something about some activity that somebody's going to say, well, that isn't right. And so we're not looking at one source. We're looking at several sources. And hopefully we'll accomplish that. One of the big problems is we're trying to do things that affect locally. We want to make sure that those are in there. Like, for example, when the Japanese Americans were hauled off in the middle of the night with their belongings in a suitcase, they were hauled off down to L.A. and then moved on a train to Poston, Arizona. That was in the spring of 1942, and they didn't come back until, and we don't know if they all came back, but came back in 1945. And to get the exact information, how many left and all that kind of thing, because I saw them disappear, the kids on the track team. And the people in your class, they just disappeared. And they never really talked much about it. Right in across to the front of the memorial will be four pedestals, which will depict those people and those activities that were active at the home front that kept the thing going. We kind of made the impression locally about that when we had a USO show at the local dinner theater, which came off really great. Full house, lots of people, lots of good food, lots of stories. We're having lots of fundraisers. And in the center between the six labs and the four pedestals, we're going to have a life-size mother or wife, however you look at it, standing on a five-foot pedestal, life-size. She's holding her toddler with one arm. She's leaning over like she's in agony and in throes of tears. There's tears running down her cheek. In her right hand, she's holding the dreaded Western Union telegram. The War Department regrets to inform you. So many people got that. Around the border will be a slanted portion because the base of the memorial is raised 2 feet, and so there's an angled portion around the edge, and there will be bronze-looking plaques, one-size plaque, for those people who give $10,000 in cash or in-kind donations. We're getting a lot of our money is from contractors who are doing in-kind work. There will be a larger plaque then for those that give $15,000. And then there will be separate ones for those major ones like Klassen Corporation that's been with us for 2 years working on all the details. There will be plaques for them. And then around the perimeter, we have six granite benches, 2 feet wide, 6 feet long. And for $25,000, you can have your company or your name in bold letters and an insignia of your company. $25,000 for one side, $50,000 for both sides. And every time we say that, people giggle. Because the people that we're talking to, in most cases, won't be given $50,000. Oh, and I should give Benjamin Victor a plug on the statue. One of the gals persisted and just a few months ago got a hold of Benjamin Victor. He's a local guy, born in Taft, moved to Bakersfield, graduated from Foothill High School, and now is an internationally known sculptor. He's the only person, the only sculptor, who has three sculptors in the Hall of Statues at Washington, D.C., and he's working on the fourth one while he's working on our lady. We've done a lot of Zoom meetings with him. He's a great guy, just a great guy, and that'll be a big draw. And I'm constantly saying, we got to remember, it isn't a Benjamin Victor memorial, because that's going to be a big draw. It's for the World War II veterans.
And you've given us kind of the picture of how the memorial is going to be structured and the different elements of it. But there were a lot of different concepts for that as you guys as a committee kind of worked through this to come up with the ultimate design that now is going to be reality on November 11th when it's unveiled with a parade through Bakersfield and as many World War II veterans as you can find on hand. Whose concept was that you just described and laid out? Where did that come from?
It was mine. I gave a big pitch about the kind of thing that I just said, that try to make it different. Like, for example, the timeline. You won't find very many memorials with timelines on them. You won't find very many memorials, actually, that have the contributors. I've worked on more than one memorial, not necessarily a veterans memorial, but a memorial, and 99% of the time when you're donating money to build the structure and want to honor someone, it's been a brick that you walk around on. And in one situation, trucks actually drove over them and broke them. And so we wanted to get away from that concept. And one of the other fellas, I didn't come up with that idea, to have the big slabs like they are, and on one side have the memorializing and on the other side have the honoring. And it's worked out very well. My family received a telegram. My brother, one of my brothers, was not killed in action, but he never came home. He got sick and died. And so he's not memorialized, but there's going to be five Granger boys who were in World War II who are honored on the backside.
And that's what strikes me as I hear you describe this, is that you feel the need for each one of these elements. The need to honor the 684 from Kern County who died, the need to recognize other veterans who served, the home front, and that statue that you described of the mother holding a child receiving the telegram. I'm sure that's going to be an emotional sight for a lot of people who visit it. November 11th is when this is all going to be unveiled with that parade and all that, but there's still some work to be done in paying for it. Well, what do you expect the total price tag on this project to be?
$500,000.
And how much does your committee still need to make this a reality?
A little less than $200,000.
And if somebody's listening to this and they want to help to make sure that this happens on time on November 11th, which isn't too far away, what can they do? What's the best way for them to contribute?
You can go online to Kern County World War II Veterans Memorial. When it pops up, the girls have done a nice job. You know, it's a big job to put up a website, and it's almost a bigger job to keep it up to date. It's like anything else. The minute you put it up, everybody starts criticizing. How come you got this there? How much you got? Why? What are you doing? But there's a spot there where you can click on it. I'm not a big tech guy at all. I'm a little tech guy, but you're supposed to be able to punch on that and different ways to pay. We enjoy going out and talking to service clubs. One of the things we carry with us is the paperwork. We have a real nicely done trifold that tells the kind of things that I just talked about, and we have flatware, and we've had the opportunity to have a lot of fundraisers. So the paperwork is out there, and we just need people to give us what they can and to tell everybody else what it's going to be, where it's going to be, and we need your help.
Well, and I know our listeners, and they're all over the place. They're in different states around the country and even some from overseas. And they're generous people, and this is going to touch some hearts, and they're going to step up and help you. So now we know what it's all about and what you need to complete it. I'm going to circle back around later and ask you what you hope people are going to get, you know, years down the road when they visit that, what they're going to get from the experience, so you can be thinking about that. But I want to hear your story, because you've given us some hints along the way, and there's some of that memorial and your concept for it, which is going to become reality, that touches different aspects of your own experience. So tell me about your family growing up. You were born right here in Bakersfield 96 years ago, right?
Downtown Hospital, Mercy Hospital. My family came here in 24. My dad was an oil worker. He worked the circuits around Kern County and ended up at the pumping plant here in Oildale. There was six of us rambunctious boys. We all graduated from Standard School in Oildale. We all graduated from Kern County Union High School. Well, that's not true. The five oldest graduated from Kern County Union High School. In 1945, midterm, the Board of Trustees changed the name to Bakersfield High School because we were starting to grow. So the baby graduated from Bakersfield High School. The older five boys, the oldest, was drafted when the war started, and the rest of us joined as we got old enough to do that. The second brother passed away. He was not killed in action, but he passed away. Dad put a gold star in the window, even though he wasn't killed in action. And the rest of us served in the Pacific. The oldest boy in the Army served in the European theater, and the rest of us served in the Pacific. All aboard ship, we're all in the service until the war ended. I always tell the story, it's really funny. to watch the commercials to join the service, and they talk about all the things you can do and all the schools you can go to, and it's just going to be wonderful. And when I signed up and got on the bus at the Southern Hotel in Bakersfield and drove down to Union Station and got on a train and went down to San Diego Training Center, there wasn't any question but I was going to be in the Amphibious Corps, because everybody who walked through the gate ended up with an Amphibious Corps badge on their shoulder. I never set foot in a landing craft for practice or anything until I got on board of a brand new ship. We ran a test run up and down the coast of California to make sure we could make it to Pearl Harbor, make it to Hawaii. When they decided that we probably could make it, why, it was an attack, a brand new kind of a ship, attack personnel, APA, amphibious. And we got to Hawaii, unloaded the boats, the Higgins boats, and started learning something about them. And I've been asked, well, didn't you see a video about them or what to do? And I said, no video. We got in the boat and invaded the backside of Oahu several dozen times until we found out. I guess we could have made the video that they used later or something.
And let me stop you there, because it's time for our first break. And I also want to rewind a little with you and hear about the years leading up to your assignment to that APA, the USS Crenshaw. Much more to come with 96-year-old Walter Granger of Bakersfield, California. Go to hometownheroesradio.com for links to the Kern County World War II Veterans Memorial. Maybe you would like to help make Mr. Granger's dream a reality by this November. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.